Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's hour two, in fact. So if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with up-and-coming singer-songwriter Danan Kane. And we talked about his music. We talked about his journey through depression and how he's navigated those waters. And it was really a sweet, sweet conversation. Now we're switching gears to talk to my good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley. We're going to talk about the impact of how we show up in our relationships, how we care for ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and why that matters not only for our own lives, but really how it impacts our relationships. I want to remind you that tomorrow we're doing another spiritual reset back by popular demand. So first hour of Live the Promise tomorrow. If you can be in a situation where you have your journal, your Bible, and you can kind of get snuggled up with a cup of coffee, we're going to address three things: worry, the waiting, and the wonder. So the things that are making you worry right now, the waiting is just when you're in a not yet season, when you long for certain things to be so, but they're not yet. And then the wondering about the future, what to do with that. So we're going to try to move to a place of faith perspective. That's first hour tomorrow, and I hope you can join us. So let me tell you about Greg, and we'll get him on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. He's the author of nearly 20 books, including The DNA of Relationships, The DNA of Parent-Teen Relationships, and The Wholehearted Marriage. He and his wife, Erin, live in Colorado with their three daughters, Taylor, Murphy, and Annie, and their son, Garrison. And you can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Greg, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. I'm always amazed that you invite me back. I just wonder what that means.
We are always so glad to have
you. Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Not at all. But I want to tell you, I'm glad to see the beard back. It looks really good. I'm serious. It's good.
Did you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Although I've noticed it's a little white and
is
gray
it?
Looking.
Because you've been with the Lord.
That's it exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Or it could be that I'm getting older.
Maybe. Maybe you're getting older and wiser.
My kids are stressing me out. How about that one?
Oh, well, anyway, it's good to have you. And I can't wait to catch up. I know you've got some stories and some incidents to share, no doubt. I can just know that without even you telling me. But before we get into that, do you have a scripture you can share with us today that's either been on your heart or carrying with you these days?
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you." And what I love about that is just this idea of how do we make our love increase and overflow for one another? And especially when we're talking about a marriage relationship, you know, we've been talking on and off for a while about just these different traits of a healthy marriage, you know, and we've talked a lot about them. I tell you the one that's really, that I've been personally confronted with, the Lord just been doing a lot, is this idea that it truly, a great marriage is going to be made up of two healthy individuals. And I remember the old truth in math that two negatives equal positive. I mean, I was terrible at math, so I don't even know if that's still true, but I think it's still true.
Because math laws change every decade.
You never know what we've discovered now that would refute that law that I remember. But, that's true in math, but that really is not true in relationships. And therefore, what am I doing along the way within my marriage to keep growing as an individual? How do I keep dealing with my stuff, my baggage, so that my love is able to increase and overflow for my wife and for my kids and for others? And I'm telling you, Susie, that's exactly where he has me right now.
And it's a great place.
Boy, it's time for you to do some more growing.
Time to buck up, buttercup.
No, I don't mean by eating food. the other kind of growth.
But truly, though, this is something that we all need to. That's kind of why we do these spiritual resets on the show for faith perspectives. But we need physical, emotional, spiritual resets all the time, because it's like the car that has the wheel that pulls left and pulls you into the ditch. You have to kind of yank on that thing, because we're bent towards sin and selfishness. We're bent towards destruction. We just are. We're like attracted to things that are bad for us if we're not careful. And truly, when we don't pay attention to these little things, they become big things and then become big problems, right? And so this is really good. I mean, when you think about our private choices, eventually they bear public fruit, and they either promote you or they sort of expose you. They either show what you've been doing, you've been eating too much, you know, or not really, or you know what I'm saying, or pressing in and studying the word, and you emerge out of this place where suddenly you've got a handle of things that you didn't before. Now, this is good for our souls because it helps us live healthy and keep perspective. But if we neglect ourselves, it not only hurts us, but it hurts how we show up in relationships. So talk just about the impact of neglect in some of these different areas on the relationship.
Well, however I show up, that's going to have an impact on my marriage, on my wife, on my kids. And that's exactly what God really confronted me in, especially over the last week. And I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating what I'm about to say. Mm. My world has been completely turned upside down.
Really?
And he rocked my world about a week ago.
Really?
Truly.
What happened?
In this exact area.
Wow.
Well, you know, one thing is I went to this thing called Impact Training.
That's so right. You asked us to pray about it, and I prayed when you asked, and then I forgot about it.
Well,
oh, my goodness.
That feels about right. So thank you for remembering me in my suffering.
I prayed hard.
I could have used Susie Larson wisdom along the way.
Out of sight, out of mind, buddy. I'm sorry.
What have you done for me lately?
No, I really did pray that day, and then I did forget. I'm so sorry. So tell me what happened.
You know what? In as much as I tease you and joke about it, you really are a prayer warrior, and that you've made that commitment to me and to my wife. And you do that. Mm-hmm. So we like to joke, but I'm saying that you are a great friend in that way. Well, okay, so this Impact Training, it's a ministry called Reinvent Ministry. And part of what it's a 4-day long, just kind of personal growth intensive. I mean, you're going from 9 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And but I tell you, there was never a moment where I really went, this is so long, when is this going to be over? It was so good, and God just used the trainer who was leading it. There was 25 of us in this group. It was amazing on every level. And I'm telling you, my life has been transformed.
Tell me though. Like, what are some of the issues that he? What did this look like?
We have a whole hour.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting excited.
Little by little.
Oh my goodness.
Because I'm telling you. Well, but one thing Just before we left, we were watching a movie. We were watching Seabiscuit. Remember that movie from like 2003? It's about that horse that from the Great Depression that, you know, no one really thought was anything special. And but it went on to just be this amazing racehorse. But there was a powerful scene in that movie to where, as we're watching, I heard the line. I just went, wow, man, that is so where I'm at. And it's the scene is that they're trying to sell this horse. And so the trainer of this horse is meeting with the new potential owners. And the owners are that may buy this horse is watching the horse breeze. It's watching it run around the track. And the trainer is embarrassed because the horse is all over the track. You know, apparently they're supposed to run, you know, straight line, that kind of thing. But the horse is just all over the place. And he feels real stupid going, hey, I'm so sorry. But listen to what he says. So he said, so that this trainer is trying to give some sort of excuse for why this horse isn't really doing what it was supposed to do. And the trainer says he's so beat up that it's hard to tell what he's like. I just can't help thinking that they got him so screwed up. He'd gone through some abuse. They've got him so screwed up running in a circle that he's forgotten what he was born to do. He just needs to learn to be a horse again.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, Susie, in so many ways, that is how I've felt over the last several months even, that just spiritual warfare, distress and busyness, just the things that have been going on in my life, some health problems with my dad. I mean, just a lot of stuff that I feel like I've been running around in circles, and I've just forgotten what I was born to do. I've gotten so sidetracked on some other things, and that some personal baggage in my life really sidetracking me, that God really used this training first and foremost to really speak into my life as far as what was I born to do. I've forgotten that. And it was so good just to be reminded and to begin to unpack that and to start to realize there's some things that have been going on that have really kept me shut down significantly, and especially in my marriage.
And you know, that thing is, Greg, as we talked about at the beginning, that little neglects, little tiny deprivations of what your soul needs turns into a big problem over time. And can minimize that. I'll scrape a little here, scrape a little there, and we get into crisis management, and it creates a crisis for us. And as you're talking, I'm thinking of Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus, so that we could do the wonderful things He planned for us long ago," out of that place of being a masterpiece in His image. And there are things you were born to do. And don't you think it's one of the enemy's great ploys to get you just off center so it feels like you might be in the lane, so it's good enough, so you don't make this drastic course adjustment, but you die a slow death there because you're not in your lane, you know?
That's right. About 2 days before I left to go on this retreat, which was about a week ago, we were hiking with some people in the area, and there was a couple that I had never met before, and we were just talking, and he was like, you know, what's kind of going on in your life? And I was saying, well, hey, I'm just about to go on this personal retreat, 4 days. I'm nervous about it. Not sure what will happen. And, he tells me this great, gives me this amazing analogy. We're just hiking around the mountains of Colorado. And he was telling me about, have you ever seen a monkey trap? I'm being serious.
Yes, I have actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to where they take a coconut and hollow it out so there's a little hole, and then they tether that, they chain that to maybe a stake in the ground or to a tree, and then they put like some fruit or some delicacy that a monkey would like. And so the monkey goes up to this hollowed out coconut and is able to flex and fit his hand in there to grab the piece of fruit, let's say. But the problem is that with his fist clenched, he can't pull his hand back out. And actually what they found is that once the monkey gets a hold of that piece of fruit, it will not let go, even to the detriment of its life. So even in the presence of another animal coming up or a human about to trap him, he will not let go of that fruit. And this guy was kind of saying, well, maybe a part of what God's trying to help you understand is, what's your monkey trap? What are you not willing to let go of in your life? And Susie, I'm telling you, that is what God brought me to my knees around. I really was confronted with a very long term, probably 20 some years, that I've been holding on to something tightly in that coconut, not letting it go, and I now really see the ramifications that it's done to my life. And that's what I'd love to talk about.
Wow. I have so many things running through my mind, but I'm going to exercise some restraint and just let you talk about this at your pace.
You were going to call me a monkey, huh?
No, I wasn't. And I'm not going to ask you if little Debbie's in that coconut, right? She's not in there, right?
I wouldn't let go of the little Debbie.
All right. Talking to Dr. Greg Smalley. I love this. I love this family so very much. Love that God is doing great things. And there's something here for you, so stay tuned. And I'm going to let Greg talk, so I'm not going to take calls just yet. Talking to Dr. Greg Smalley about the importance of showing up in our relationship emotionally, physically, spiritually healthy, and the choices we can make in our everyday life that improve not only our lives, but the lives of people that God has given us to love. More with Doc Smalley in a moment. Wants to do for you. Did you know that? He wants to refresh your soul. He leads you beside still waters. He restores your soul. He leads you on paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So His will for you is your best case scenario. We got to trust him enough to slow down and get in touch with what's going on in our soul. If we just live the rat race, we're going to miss the sacred pace that God has. And I'm talking to my good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley, about tending to our soul, tending to our emotional, physical, spiritual health, not only for our lives, but for the sake of those God has given us to love and the people we're in relationship with. So before the break, Greg, you have been on the show the last couple months talking and being very honest about the burnout that you have walked through and how it's just been tough for you. You carry so much. And yet you'd said last time you were on, you were going away to this intensive 4-day retreat where they dig into everything that's going on. And now you're saying that you came out of that and it was a game changer. And one of the things that God really revealed was there's something that you were hanging on to that you needed to let go. So you were on the mountain with a friend the day or two before this retreat, and he said, explain the monkey trap. Explain that again, that analogy. And tell me this, when that analogy was explained to you, did you know at that moment what it was you were hanging on to, or did it take the intensive for you to figure that out?
So the monkey trap is a hollowed out coconut that they tether to a tree or to the ground with a chain that a monkey reaches in for, like, whatever they put inside the trap, a piece of fruit, flexible enough hand to get in, but once he grabs the fruit, can't pull his hand out. And the psychology of a monkey is such that once they grab hold of it, they're not letting go. And so they refuse to put it down, whether it's greed or, you know, I don't know, whatever the reason is, they will die before they will let go of that thing. And so this man was basically saying, that's what it sounds like that you're searching for, is what is it in your life that you're so tightly holding on to, even to your absolute detriment as a human being, as a husband, as a father, as a worker, as a friend. And I thought I probably had some idea of what it was. I had no idea how that was actually playing out. And so, Susie, here's what it is for me. Through these 4 days, what I really was able to get in touch with is, and I've shared this story before, when I was in my 20s, so in college, I went too far with a girl that I was dating. We ended up having a very physical relationship, and she ended up pregnant. And part of the message that I had heard growing up, whether my parents said this directly or indirectly, this is what I heard, was that, boy, son, if you ever got a girl pregnant, you know, the kind of public ministry that your dad has, boy, he would probably have to quit. So be very careful. And so, again, I don't, without judging my parents or whatever, that's just what I heard.
And, you know, the enemy could be the one who whispered that to your head, too. Yep. Okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's why this is not about anything to do with my parents. Faced with what I thought was a no-win, you know, a bad and horrible choice, just in that state, we opted to abort that baby. And that marked a beginning point in my life of just severe depression and darkness. And I had thought that I had committed the unpardonable sin. I really did think that I had no opportunity to ever be involved in ministry. I mean, I thought I'd totally disqualified every part about me. I hated myself for what I had done in that moment. And again, I mean, I could explain it more, but the bottom line is that I made that choice as the man, as the leader within this relationship. What haunted me is that was the decision that we made. And I so blamed myself for that failure. And it's always felt like such a fail. Like I've said it for, I mean, you know, I'm 46. I mean, we're talking 26 years. I've said that I would give anything in the world for that not to be my story. Like God has done amazing things, and I am who I am because of what I went through, and he has dealt with me along the way and forgiven me and so many good things, but I've never been able to let that go. It just so fundamentally bothers me that I made that choice. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. I hate it. I wish it wasn't a part of my story. And that was, so Susie, what I began to realize is, for me, the what I wasn't able to let go of was just the fact that I did that I'd failed as a man in that way. I couldn't let go of it. And really what happened was a big part of me died. And I, I would show up. The evidence of that is how I would show up in my marriage and in life, with my kids, at work. And what I became was a very reluctant leader, always feeling like, boy, pushed. Maybe I'll make the wrong choice, like I did then.
Mm. And maybe even partially disqualified. You know, if you're reluctant,
so.
You know, it's
like,
I don't have total authority, or I'm not totally qualified to stand here.
Yeah. Even simple things like confronting people, I would, in my mind, the message was that who, come on, who am I? Who am I to cast the first stone? I mean, look what I've done.
Mm.
I have no business challenging you. Look at me, you know. But why point the finger at you when I've got 50 fingers pointing back at me? That's how I felt. And I wasn't really fully aware of this, but it really, I died that day. And I was never fully able to work that out between me and the Lord to where I felt like I was alive. So I was, the message that came to me there at one point, just doing some work around this, was just that I was a dead man walking. You know, I could appear, I could put on the face, I could put on the act, I could say the right things, but the truth was that I was dead, and my wife was the recipient of this. My kids were the recipient of this. Those at work were the recipient of this, to where that I was showing up numb. I was showing up just wanting to, there was such a self-loathe. There was such a self-hatred for myself because of what I did. I couldn't get past it. And again, I logically could tell you what God had done, and I could tell you that He forgave me. So, you know, but
and
it
you've
was
not
that,
even hidden it. You and Aaron have spoken about it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So it's not like you've stuffed it under the rug.
No.
But you sure can see why, if there is a lie about it embedded in your soul and you build upon it, it gets so buried you don't even know what it is, but you just know the fruit of it is exhausting you, you know?
Yeah. There was an exercise we were doing within this training, this thing called impact training. And I'm telling you, you want to radically change your life, man, go to this website. It's Reinvent Ministries, and find a training area. I'm telling you, it blew me away. But at one point, I won't get into the exercise because, man, I want people to go, so I'm not going to give some of this stuff away. But basically, we were asked to choose in a situation: would we choose to live or to die? And of course, there was an opportunity to kind of be quote unquote sacrificial in your death. And so, of course, I stood up and told everybody, here's why I would die. And that's because, you know, hey, God calls us to, you know, no greater love is there than the man who's willing to lay down his life. And what really came out of that is the leader really challenged me bad. And he basically said, that the way in which you claim to sacrifice is merely gesture, that it's not coming from a true place of giving up your life, because you've chosen to die. And just the way that you show up, and how do you show up? And as I began to unpack, just, you know, coming home at night and just wanting to veg out in front of the TV and just numb out, and the way that I choose to eat, I mean, all that really became clear evidence that I just could not stand me. Mm. And this choice that I had made, I could not let that go.
And
what I learned, though, there, and how I got some freedom there, wow.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. And in gesture, you think about it's giving a yes, but not having all of yourself behind it. Going, kind of almost going through the motions, talking to Dr. Greg Smalley. Don't go away. More when we come back. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a great conversation with my good buddy, Dr. Greg Smalley. We're talking today about caring for your soul, caring for your emotional health, your spiritual health, because all of that ties into how you show up in relationships. But it's not just for relationships. It's really for the abundant life that God has, because it's for freedom that he set us free. And Greg's been telling the story the last couple months in a row that Greg's been on. You've been just really honest about kind of the burnout and the fatigue and just needing a fresh reset. And you went to this 4-day intensive retreat, and God just really set the plow deeper and unearthed something. And as you've been telling the story, it's made me think of Psalm 51:6, and it says, he desires truth in the inmost being, and in the hidden places he'll make me know wisdom. And I love that, because it's like in the inmost being, Greg, is where most lies go to hide. And when the lie is hiding there, it really creates a fracturedness in the way that we show up in life. And in that inmost being, when truth is there, suddenly we have wisdom where we once were fractured. We have credibility where we once were inconsistent, you know? And you were discerning.
I love that. What was that verse?
Psalm 51:6. Yeah. I just love that verse.
I'm taking it.
Take it and run
it's
with
mine.
It. You got it. But the thing is that the Lord is showing you about, and this is a memory you've been very honest about. You've not hidden under the rug, been very sober about, but in college, had a relationship with a girlfriend. She got pregnant. If you want to hear the whole story, go back and listen to the beginning of the show. But she had an abortion, and you've been honest about that, but you realized here and now that you've not been able to let that go, even though God has forgiven you. You've been honest about just the process. It's really undermined you as a father and a husband and as a leader and as a man of God, where it's sort of you've shown up already mentally disqualified. So in the inmost being, there's been that disqualifying lie for you.
Totally.
Oh, my goodness. And
totally.
So take us to that place then. So he said to you, he was presenting a scenario, the leader, about would you die or would you live? And you said, I would die. And he challenged you and said, that sounds like you're showing up more in gesture than you are in reality. Take it from there and what you realized as to how it played out in your relationship with Aaron and the kids.
Yeah, this man, this leader of this 4-day intensive, just really God gave him such, the Holy Spirit provided such great insight about me, to where without really knowing much about me, he was able to look at me and just say, dude, you're not alive. What are you giving up to die? You're dead already. And use the phrase, you're a dead man walking.
Wow.
And I was staring at him like, who are you? You know, what, you don't know me. And yet, you know, when the cool part is when you have an encounter with truth, you there's a peace.
That's
even
right.
Though I didn't want that to be true on any level, that was so true. And I really just sat there. I mean, I'm in front of everybody. I'm just kind of standing there going, wow.
Hmm.
And I think it was in that moment that I realized that is so true of how I've been showing up. I've just been acting dead. I've been living to die, not dying to live.
Hmm.
And that was the moment for me to where literally I just felt it, just the 180 degree just flipping me over.
Wow.
Onto it, just going. And I just sat back and inside I just went, man, I'm ready to live. And just all those verses, you know, like John 10:10, I've come to give you life so that you can have it to the full.
Mm.
I mean, I just started to think about all those verses to where God paid, you know, Christ paid that price. He died so that I would live. Who was I to be so absorbed into my own pain and guilt and shame and all of that I wasn't living? And I was surviving. I was numbing out. I wasn't showing up alive within my marriage. And so, I wouldn't challenge my wife. You know, she was getting, you know, as iron sharpens iron. I mean, that's part of the beauty of a marriage, is you have these two people who, you know, as iron sharpens iron, who are rubbing together, who are going to teach each other and spur each other on for great. I wasn't doing that. I was just like, whatever, man, you don't. What do I have to offer? Look at me. And I would not have been able to articulate what I'm saying right now, but now very clearly that's the beauty of, I think for me, the first thing that had to happen is that I had to get some awareness around this. And I love that verse in Psalms 4:4 that says, in your anger, do not sin, but when you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. And there was really, for me, over the next couple of days of really searching, God, is this true? Is this you talking? Is that really how I've been? Because what was cool is that people began to give me feedback like, yeah, that's kind of how we we experience you. You've seen reluctant. You've seen hesitant. You've seen very guarded of your image, trying to portray something different. There's been something there. And so they were starting to put it together, and I was starting to put it together. And, of course, then this enormous guilt and sadness, sorrow really set in of going, oh, wow, you mean the last 23 years of my marriage? What? You know, this is how I've been with my kids. What? And so that was really, really hard. And just to even begin to contain that. I mean, have you ever had those moments where you really get in touch with you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, how do I get away? But it was so God's truth. I love it. I mean, John 8:32, I mean, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I'm telling you, in that moment, what shifted for me is that I heard God, I audibly heard him saying, die to live. And to me, there were two levels of that. One was a true, you know, like, hey, I'm dying for this thing. Like, I really want it bad. You know, I want this thing. Man, want to live, die to live. That's why you're here. You're here to live so that you can love others. That's my destiny. You know, like the horse, Seabiscuit. You know, he'd forgotten what he was born to do. I had forgaten that I was born to love fully, to love from a place of being completely alive. And that, so as that truth really began to set in, so die to live for me became not only I'm living, you know, I'm going home and I'm going to live. That the other part of that was die to live. In other words, you know, we've talked about this before, and I think it's so cool that there's only two things in the Bible where we're told, oh, there's two times in the Bible that we're told to do something daily. To me, that's just fascinating. Of all the wisdom contained within the Bible, only twice. You know, once we're told to encourage one another daily, and the other one is that we're told to die, to pick up our cross daily. In other words, to die to ourselves like Christ did. In other words, to sacrifice. And that to me was the other meaning of instead of gesturing that I'm sacrificing truly from a place of being alive and having a choice, being able to give my life up now for my wife and for my kids and for my friends and for my coworkers.
So great. And I just want to make the point. So back to that verse, Psalm 51:6. You desire truth in the inmost being, and in the hidden places you'll make me know wisdom. As we were talking about, because in the inmost being is where the wise go to hide. You have been a great husband. You've been a great father. You've just not been as great as you can be. And this proves, like, when you have a lie, it's not static in your character, in your soul. It eventually will, it's almost like a stronghold, will take up more space in your life till it kills you. And it'll drive us to strive ourselves to death. And that's one of the reasons God so wants to extract the lie from our character so he can put a seed of truth there, because then that brings life. And I'm just so curious, when you went back to talk to Aaron and to just say, what's this been like for you? And I mean, I can imagine as a wife going, feeling like suddenly like this relief, because something maybe in her loving kindness trying to say, hello, this is hard. This is hard. And you both have your stuff, you know, and we all do.
It's been way more obvious than that.
Yeah.
It wasn't
real
subtle.
But I mean,
knowing my wife.
Yeah. But how did she respond when you asked her, what's this actually been like? I know you've been trying to share it, but I'm all ears now. I'm hearing, what's it been like? What did she say?
Really what I heard her say is that there's been this part of you that I've never really had access to. And you've been going through the motions, and you're right. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I do, and there's plenty of things that I really try to do to love her, but it's not been from a place of being free and full. And there was just a difference. Like, for example, one thing that she talked about is that, because of my woundedness, it was very hard to ever step out of that, to hear feedback from her. Like when she was hurt or when she was frustrated with me, that any time she would say those things, I was already in such this place of feeling like such an utter, complete failure, wounded man, that I it was so hard to listen to that. And so I got so good at deflecting. I got so good at defending. I mean, I'm smart. I mean, I know how to argue with her and all those things. And she never felt like she could then be fully embraced by me in those areas. Like, I was able to embrace the parts of her that I really was liking, like when we're laughing and having fun and hanging out together and teaching together. But in those moments where she's hurting or frustrated or having a bad day, see that it so reminded me of my wounded stuff that I was never really truly able to embrace that part of her. And she's like, man, I want to be loved and accepted and by all of who I am, not just those parts that you like and can tolerate. And there's a lot. As a matter of fact, what I made a date with my wife, and it's actually next week, and I've asked her, can I get babysitter? We're gonna go out. I think we're just gonna go hiking. And Aaron, I want to fully understand what this has been like for you. I mean, I really genuinely do. Not from a place of being so broken and wounded, but truly from a place of strength and wanting to be alive to say, man, I want to get this. And really want to understand, because I think the other part that I realize is that confessing this is great, and yet what I want to do is really be able to seek forgiveness for my wife, for my kids, and that means I fully have to understand what that was like for them, and that would be typically something that would be very hard for me. I wouldn't normally ask that.
Well, you seem like, I mean, you were a great guy before, Greg, but you seem like a different guy. You I can see the freedom on your face. Mm-hmm. I can see it in your countenance that it's like a big boulder has been pulled out of your soil. And I've had those times before that have been game-changing, life-changing for me. And sometimes you feel like you've had surgery after and you feel raw and even a little exposed, but you know you're not the same anymore. But when God does that, it's like he's getting ready for a fresh planting. And once you get the big boulder out of the soil, there's all this room for harvest in your life. And so if I were you, just be expectant about what God is going to do now. He let you live like, I mean, he let you go this long, right? And he's a God of acceleration. So I, you know, if you're tempted to just go, why at this age is this, am I finally getting this? He's patient and your life has still bore fruit. You still have got a great family. And so now be expectant, absolutely, right, about what's ahead. But what about the thing with your kids where you said, before the last break, you were realizing in that woundedness, you've guarded your comfort zone. And so your kids and your wife have had to come to you on your terms in your comfort zone. We're going to take a break in about 2 minutes, but can you just speak to that? And what's your process with your kids as far as working that one out?
Yeah, there was a part in the training to where this facilitator drew kind of a big circle and put a dot right in the middle and said, that dot represents you. And then kind of drew like a pie, you know, a little piece of pie, and said, this is your comfort zone. And this is where you have all the things you love and enjoy. And he said, now, how do you love? Do you love by going outside of your comfort zone to interact with people you wouldn't ordinarily, or to do things for others that you really wouldn't ordinarily like to do? And what hit me literally like a 2x4 is that as I was staring at that drawing, I just went, oh my goodness, wow. To when I invite my family to connect with me, it's always in those things that I enjoy and that are comfortable to me. And if you want to really connect with dad kids, well, let's sit down, we'll watch some TV, we'll play basketball, we'll go play catch, we'll go fishing. I mean, it was, I just started seeing, especially my youngest daughter, Annie, and I was just hearing her say, Daddy, will you do this or will you do that? Things that are way outside my comfort zone that I would say, how about instead we go watch some TV and you can sit with me? And again, I mean, I'm not trying to paint this terrible picture, but it blew me away at the truth. Because I'm telling you, I know I experienced truth. And God was saying, son, man, that's you. You are willing to connect when it's on your terms and within things or within your comfort zone. But what's that going to be like now to love outside of that? And that, it just blew me away. I mean, it did one, again, filled me with such sorrow that's how I've showed up. But it also made me realize, man, I can choose to do this.
You can choose this to do this different. When we come back, let's open up the phone lines for a couple minutes. If you got a question for Greg about your own journey or just clarification, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. That's a toll-free call. When we come back, Greg will wrap this up and just talk about some things we can take away in our own lives to really tend to the soil of our hearts, care for our souls so we can live the way God wants us to. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You are for us. Oh, I love that song. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Greg Smalley today, just about his journey of God just really delivering, I don't know how to even say it, but removing a lie from the soil of his heart, and that's a visual, right? But really replanting and really bringing some healing, soul healing to him. And the whole point of this conversation is for you even just to take some inventory of your own heart, to pay attention to the things and our tendencies so that God can really turn over that soil and create a place where you can thrive and thrive in relationships, thrive spiritually and emotionally. And we don't have time to reset the full story, but I just want you to wrap up, if you would, and talk about some of the things that you took away, how it's impacting in your everyday life, even showing up at work, Greg. And even I want to know about your kids. I asked you during the break because you were realizing that the self-preservation, that because of the soul wound that you've been carrying with you for so long, that your tendency was to stay in your comfort zone. And I relate to this, and I'm sure many do listening, and to have your kids and your wife meet you on terms that were comfortable for you because it was uncomfortable to go outside of that, because there was something still undealt with in your life that God wanted to heal. So say more.
You know, one of the things that I need to do, and that I've that, and so hey, you can hold me accountable for this as my friend, that I will have a conversation with my wife and each one of my kids separately. And I just want to, better understand what this has been like for them, the ways in which that I've chosen to show up, not show up, just some of those things. Again, not to be beaten up, but just to truly, I really want to empathize with what that's been like, because I want to seek their forgiveness. But I need to really understand what that was like for them. And as a matter of fact, what I want to do is I really, after doing that, I want to have a time to where I can just sit my whole family down, and I'm going to wash their feet, and I'm just going to seek forgiveness. And you know, this is all going to change. I mean, I want to do this differently. And so I get to, so I'll do this with, as a matter of fact, Murphy and I are going on a 6-day hiking trip in the mountains of Colorado. And so that's probably a time that I'll really seek out some of this from her. But, you know, I just think for me, what the process was, that God's been really helping me, because I'm so passionate about marriage. You know, I love my marriage. And yet I was realizing that, you know, to have a great marriage, you have to keep growing. And if you got to have two healthy people. And I'm telling you, there was this thing that I had to deal with. And we use the analogy, you know, the monkey trap, and it just, I wouldn't let this go. And I refused. And there was payoff, you know, it kept me from really having to risk and to put myself out there. And I could just kind of float through life and just be kind of numbed out. And I was justified because look at what I did. I mean, it all makes sense. And yet that's so not who I want to be. And that's why that I just kept hearing that the die to live. So last night I was just with Aaron, we started a new marriage group. And so there's actually a mutual friend of ours who started this. And so we were part of it. And typically, see, my routine would have been, I would have gotten home, I would have purposely forgotten that we had a marriage group to go to. And Aaron would have said, hey, we got to get ready to where are we going? What are we doing? Oh, we're going to this marriage group. Oh, come on, honey, man, I'm tired. I got to relax. Why are we doing this? How long is it? What? It's not going to go over till 9:00. So what? So I get no rest and relaxation. I just got to go back to work the next morning. And wait, how many new people are there? Oh man, I hate it when there's like, I can take like one or two new people, but there's like 5 or 6 new couples. And I'm telling you, I would not remember anybody's name, but maybe one or two. And what I noticed last night was just what I was able to see is how important one this would be for me. You know, I always say it takes a village to raise a marriage. I mean, Aaron and I need that community. But I knew how important this was for my wife, and to be able to, from a place of being alive, to offer that up as a sacrifice.
To show up alive.
Yeah. Because what I love here, what's cool, sacrifice is when you give up something that you consider valuable. So you have something in your possession that's of value, and you give that to someone else that you consider to be
very
more valuable.
Good.
And that was my experience. Again, gosh, the worst thing I would hate is someone hearing me patting myself on the back. I'm not doing that.
This is the fruit of it. This is good.
It just felt different last night that I was, I knew everybody's name. I was engaged. I loved it. It was so much fun just talking to everybody. That I would have been giving her that eye look of, when are we gonna, can we leave yet? Is it time? I mean, come on, let's get out of here. And I even said to her at the end, I'm like, hey, do you want to go or do you want to hang out and just talk to people? And she just looked at me like, what? She didn't even, the poor thing. Okay, this is what makes me so sad. She could not process that because she's used to me dragging her out the door as soon as anything's over. Because why on earth would I want to give when I'm not alive and when I don't feel like I have anything to give? Why would you want to know me if I didn't feel that way?
And it brings me back to that story you told at the beginning when the counselor gave a scenario, would you live or would you die? And you stood up and you said, I would die for that cause. When you think about it, if you don't value your life, then it's not a sacrifice. It's like, put me
you
out of my misery.
You don't have anything to give.
You know what? Put me out of my misery. But when you
that
start,
was the gesture,
exactly.
Yes.
And but when you start to value it, and yet you're laying it down. You know, when Kev had cancer, we got all kinds of emails from people. And one sent this email of this little boy whose sister had cancer, and she needed some of his blood, his blood cells or something like that. And they put the IV in his arm, and he started to look so sad. And then mama goes over there and says, honey, is everything okay? And he said, I'm just happy to do this. But he said, I just have a question. And she said, yeah. And he said, will I die right away?
Oh, he thought by giving his blood
he
would
die.
Dying. That's it.
Isn't that amazing?
He had the blood. He owned the blood to give, and he was choosing to
and he's
to
like,
give
I'm happy
away
for
what
her.
Was so valuable.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how, you know, oh, my goodness. But, you know, I think your story, Greg, is so important because I think you represent lots of people who are barely showing up, who are calling something sacrifice. That's gesture because deep inside they hate themselves anyway.
And they don't have it to give away.
No.
They don't have their life to give it away.
Yeah, but it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. You always do this, and I think it's one of the things that makes you a great leader is that you go first. I just appreciate that. We just have about a minute before we pray, but any final advice for people listening today for how to be in tune with some of the stuff that's going on and to know and discern how this is impacting their relationships?
You know, I would just literally think about that analogy of the monkey trap. We all have a monkey trap. Our hand is holding on to something that we will not let go, and it's entrapping us. And I would just encourage you, really spend some time with the Lord. What is that? What areas am I stuck in? Are there parts of my life that I'm not willing to give up or to change? How are people experiencing me? How am I impacting others? What is it like being married to me? Man, if you're willing to ask those things, I think that God is so faithful that he's gonna reveal these things and he will give us the power. It's what God did this weekend. It had nothing to do with me. You know, I mean, he just used this man to speak that truth, and I encountered it, and I got it, and I got the full weight of it. I got the image, and if we're willing to do that, I mean, he'll get us all the way there.
You know what?
I mean, I'm not anywhere yet. I've got a whole lot of living to figure out how to do.
Well, you were ready, and you've got a father who loves you, and I really believe he arranged this because this was the time. This was the time. And you referenced Reinvent Ministries, so if you need a four-day intensive, check out Reinvent Ministries. But as we wrap up, I'm thinking you triggered somebody listening today going, oh, my word, do I have some soul healing to do? Would you pray for that person listening today that not to be afraid, that God has more for you? Would you pray for them?
God, I pray Deuteronomy 30:19, that this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. God, help us to live lives that are full, that are alive, that are about love, that we have such a full heart to love, Lord, whatever we need to give up, whatever we have to let go of to get our hand out of that trap so we can keep loving. Lord, put that on our heart. Reveal that. Bring someone, use someone, iron sharpening iron to help us, Lord. We just thank you, God. Thank you for allowing us to love on this earth. Just help us do that better, Lord. Thanks for our family. Thanks for our spouses and for our kids. Just help us to be alive in those relationships. Yes. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You are a good buddy, Greg. God's richest blessings on you and your
family.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget tomorrow's Spiritual Reset. Get your journal and your Bible ready. We're going to have a great time. Have a blessed day. Until next time.